Hello, it's Wednesday, the 6th of March in the year of our Lord 2024. Another nightly news show. Tonight, joining me, as always, is the beautiful Catherine Watkins.
Good evening, ladies. How are you both?
We're good. And the wonderful Christine over in Alabama.
Hello, how are you?
We're all good. I think we're going to jump straight in tonight without any chit chat with,
Yeah.
obviously, Kate Watch. Okay, so very, very quickly, the photographs that the foreign press have been putting out, if you actually have a look at it, for stare at it for 30 seconds, you will see that that car has something like eight wheels. Both sides of the cars don't match, and it's clearly either
It's
an
not it.
AI photo or it's been photoshopped. The
Yeah, it's not
grainy
it.
the person sitting next to her, which I still think looks like Pippa. There have been some fantastic memes coming out on it, as
I
everybody
know. I did
really
look at that. I did look more at that picture, and the more I look at it, the more I don't think it's her anyway.
look at the back wheels of the car. There's an
I didn't
extra,
look at that. I will have a look. I will have a look.
just open it up and have a look, and there's about three extra wheels on the back of the car. So, but
Oh,
the thing is,
right. Is this on your wall, though?
Yeah, it's in there. It's
Can you
amongst all
share it?
the other memes.
Okay, no worries. Go on, carry on.
I'll have a look down there at the picture of the actual real picture. Anywho, so it's clearly been photoshopped. But what's interesting is the British press are now coming out to saying they're not going to print it because it's not an authorised picture by Kensington Palace. No, it's a fake picture. Just stare at it long enough, and you will see that no Audi, I believe, has an extra two wheels at the back.
Yeah, I
So,
can see it. I got it in front of me by you. Totally see what you're saying.
that's fake. We still don't know where she is. There was a statement put out by William, and I don't know if I should play it right now. No, I won't. I'm going to link the statement that was sent to me that William made, and everyone can look on the post and listen to that. So, as far as Kate Watch is concerned, the one thing, actually, I've just remembered, there is one story which is very interesting. So, the household cavalry or the guards at Buckingham Palace, the army had Kate's name up for Trooping of the Colour that goes on in June. Well, they've had to quickly remove that from their website because apparently, again, Kensington Palace has not formally announced Kate's first engagement when she returns to public life, even though we were told she had her first outing with her mum, and the British press are still saying it, but they just haven't printed the photos. They're all saying she's going to be back to work soon. So this is June. What are we, the beginning of March? She's got another two months before June. What, she's still not going
Yeah.
to be back to work by then? Nothing makes any sense. We don't know where she is. And that's the end of tonight's Kate Watch. So, ladies, shall we jump straight into the story about Operation Blue Roof that Christine sent me? And this is just a teaser video, because we haven't deep delve straight into it because it's very personal to Christine. Christine, why does this video that you want a bit longer to
Right.
digest? Why is that? Why are we jumping into it straight away?
I apologize. This one really hits close to home to me. And it's about these wildfires that have been happening. You've seen them in Canada, you've seen them in California, you've seen them in Maui, and now Texas. I have family in Texas that go back generations that have been on the same land for hundreds of years. And it was destroyed by this wildfire. And it came way too close. They are ranchers, they're cattlemen. They are the salt of the earth people. We love them so much. And
this is another attack on farmers, basically, because it's the farmland.
Yeah.
So
I certainly was curious when he said this about the roofs of homes, and he's specifically talking about Texas and these wildfires. Listen.
Because a lot of, if you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they had the right roof on it. And anyway, since I took office, FEMA's provided Texas alone.
Well,
it's like he knows, he's like, he went off script for a moment, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, he like looked over and then he went back to his teleprompter.
Because a lot of, if you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they had the right roof on it. And anyway, since I took office, FEMA's provided Texas alone.
Operation Blue Roof and the FEMA self-help program, while similar, use two different materials. Both programs help reduce further rain damage to homes and provide temporary protection for the roofs of residential structures damaged during severe weather. It's used for major impacts to roofs. The sheeting is 100% waterproof. It is also tear-resistant, UV-resistant, and fire-retardant.
Pantex, which has been the nation's primary assembly, disassembly, retrofit, and life extension center for nuclear weapons, has been evacuated. Pantex has suspended operations as fires threaten the nuclear weapons plant.
This morning, a fire raging near a nuclear weapons plant as out-of-control wildfires swept through the Texas panhandle.
Let's pull out. We got too many spots. Pull out. Everybody, pull out.
And the state's governor issuing a disaster declaration. Concerns growing about the Pantex plant near Amarillo, a nuclear weapons assembly facility. With an uncontained fire nearby, the plant suspending operations overnight. Workers back on site this morning.
We are continuing and will continue on tonight to ensure that Pantex plant is protected and safe.
Strong winds and dry conditions fueling widespread blazes throughout the state. Meanwhile, wild weather continuing in the Midwest, with reported tornadoes in Illinois and Michigan. The dangerous storms splintering structures, leaving them in pieces. It's already been a wild weather week for millions nationwide.
To have this kind of dramatic swing that we're having with this wild 55 degree temperature swing, maybe, that's what makes this really unique.
The way to the scene, and here's Maria Villarreal now, her report from Texas.
Tonight, howling winds and thick smoke filling the skies in the Texas panhandle, with four major wildfires burning out of control.
Look how quick it's spreading. Oh my gosh.
Hey man, four trucks. We can't hold it.
Get out of there.
Let's pull out. We got too many spots.
It is really bad.
The entire city of Canadian, northeast of Amarillo, surrounded by flames. Authorities tonight saying there are no exits out, asking everyone to shelter in place.
But it's burning up all around it.
It is ripping it towards Scott's Acres.
Officials shutting down roads.
Heads back. We're just going to have to regroup. We can't stop it.
The largest inferno, the Smokehouse Creek Fire, quadrupling in size in less than 24 hours, scorching more than 200,000 acres, and it's 0% contained. Misty West and her family now fleeing their home in Pampa, Texas, with their two dogs.
It just moves so fast. Look at that. Is awful.
More than 40 homes damaged in Fritch, Texas. The hot, dry conditions fueling fires across the plains from Texas to Nebraska and Colorado, where a fire Monday threatened the Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs.
Tonight, the governor of Texas declaring a disaster, calling these wildfires devastating. Now, forecasters are saying that conditions should improve overnight, but they could get worse once again by the end of the week. David?
Let's hope they get a report.
Steve Favis is an expert in computer science and advanced robotics. He has been researching the Maui fires and has compiled evidence that the technology exists to have started these fires from a satellite in Earth orbit. He has also confirmed that the CCP had satellites capable of doing so above Maui at the time of the fires. His work has been published on his website, stevefavis.com. And includes everything you need to recreate these findings. The most efficient way to ignite a fire on the surface from a satellite in Earth orbit would be to paint the target in segments by pulsing the laser with an advanced targeting system. To see if this were possible, Favas calculated what it would require to create a meter-wide, mile-long fire. Fired from a satellite, the Earth's atmosphere will absorb and scatter some of the laser energy. And so the laser would need to be in a wavelength range that minimizes this. The most effective wavelength would be in the near-infrared range, which would allow better transmission through the atmosphere. The near-infrared range would be invisible to the naked eye and would also have a minimal reaction with objects colored blue on the Earth's surface. The power of the laser would need to be in the hundreds of kilowatts range, and so Favas based his calculations on a 10-megawatt laser firing from Earth orbit. Assuming that the atmospheric loss amounts to 50% of the overall power and only 5 megawatts reaches the surface as a 1 square meter beam, it would ignite a fire almost instantly. If this 5-megawatt beam was pulsed across a 1 meter by 1 mile long area in segments, then the time to ignite the entire area would be roughly 2.7 minutes. And it would only take approximately 8.8 seconds to melt an aluminum alloy wheel. The amount of energy required to pulse a 10-megawatt laser for 2.7 minutes would require approximately 3,220 capacitors, which would amount to about 32,200 kilograms in weight. Using MetLab software and plugging in public data provided from NORAD, he found that satellites launched and monitored by the CCP were directly above the Maui fires at the time of ignition. The CCP's most powerful rocket, the March 5, can launch up to 48,500 kilograms of payload, which is more than enough to carry the required payload in Favas' calculations. But Favas has found that the CCP has much more powerful lasers deployed already. He has calculated that the CCP has up to 70 gigawatt lasers in Earth orbit right now. That's at least 100 times more powerful than what he factored into these calculations. Adjusting NORAD's default coordinated universal time, or UTC, to the local time zones, Favas found the following. The Olinda fire was ignited at approximately 10:47 p.m. on August 7th. At this exact time, CCP satellite labeled NORAD 53299 was directly over the location. The Lahaina fire was ignited at approximately 6:37 a.m. on August 8th. At this exact time, CCP satellite labeled NORAD 55836 was directly over the location. The Kula fire was ignited at approximately 11:30 a.m. on August 8th. At this exact time, CCP satellite labeled NORAD 53299 was directly over the location. The so-called deep state does not want you to know that deadly lasers of mass destruction are freely traveling above us. And you can check this all for yourself at stevefavas.com, where he provides the source code and has developed a specific software program that you can download and check for these satellites yourself.
Fly over these areas that are burned to the ground. You'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they have the right roof on it. And anyway.
You surprised? Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
What did you think of that?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's very frightening really, isn't it? Because these, you know, direct energy weapons are literally direct. You can target anybody. As we've seen over the years, when they've done them, you'll have, like, say, 30 houses completely obliterated into dust, and then you'll have, like, one thing stood in the middle, or trees are still standing. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, the fact that the, you know, the corrupt governments of the world and the deep state have got these types of weapons is really, really, it's frightening. Of course it is, because they can just direct it at anybody at any time and just take
that one. They can't get out. And yeah. They've got two minutes. There's no warning. This laser.
No, just, there's no warning. There's no warning at all. And then they're keeping them in. This is just, oh, it's really scary. It is. It's frightening. But people need to know what on earth is going on. Do you know, I think a lot of people have seen these videos over the years as well, haven't they, when it's happened? And they've been asking questions and whatever. But it's something that sort of gets, you know, tucked away until the next one. Do you know what I mean? And this one that's going on in Texas right now is absolutely insane. It's really frightening.
Really is. Christine, I know you're going to look into it more when you're ready, because you're still digesting it and you have got family there.
This is, you know, when you start talking about, well, first off, Pantex, the nuclear plant right there. I mean, what do you think the CCP is targeting, right? So from these satellite balloons that they have in the air, you know, it was, they proved it in that video that we just watched, that, you know, the satellite balloons were directly above the wildfires when they started. So there's no question who's doing this, how, and why. And it infuriates me, and it breaks my heart, all the lives that have been lost. I mean, you had people in Maui, and nobody wanted to cover that story. Nobody would touch it. Maui has been desperate for the news to come help them, and they never got the help they need. They're still struggling. And now what they've done, it's a land grab. See? So what they've done is they've displaced all these people in Maui, and they've taken those that survived and had them put in temporary housing. They're now kicking those people out because, you know, the government will pay the homeowner if they'll rent to certain people. So as long as you kick out the natives of the area and rent to the ones we want, we'll pay. We'll help you.
It's almost the same MO. It's almost the same MO as what they're doing with immigration, isn't it, really?
It's exactly.
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
It's this whole NGO. It's the NGO with the do, with the harp, with the CCP. It's all tied together. And they have such a dark agenda against us. I mean, let's be honest, guys. They want us dead. They want to kill us. And they've done it. You know, there were people in Maui. That's an island. They were lined up in their cars trying to leave, and they were blocked by the police and then hit with a directed energy weapon, and entire families fried in their cars.
It's terrible. James O'Keefe, I think it was James O'Keefe, went over to Maori, and he was driving, and he drove some sort of area, and then the next thing, the police wouldn't let him go any further.
They wouldn't let anybody around the area that happened, even the locals. Yeah, I've been watching. There was a realtor there that had really done some great work and was trying to get the stories out, and they would arrest people, they would harass people. I've watched several of their meetings that they've had, you know, where people are like, how are we going to survive? Like, we have no home, insurance isn't paying, nothing's happened. Like, you know, we can't get any help at all. We can't get housing. Where are our kids going to go to school? Where are our kids? Here's another story. Where are the kids? You had people running out into the ocean to survive, and thousands of bodies even floating, you know. I mean, there was just, this whole thing has just been insane. And they come out with this death count of, what, 101 people died or something stupid like that? Give me a break. They're not being honest in the numbers. They're not being honest about any of this. They are destroying our crops. They're destroying our land. They're destroying our people.
There isn't an aspect of our life where we are not getting attacked.
That's true.
And Catherine, I don't know if you heard last night's show, but we've got this live cyber threat because you had all your problems yesterday, didn't you, with the internet? I had mine in the morning.
Yeah.
And there's this live cyber threat map. So you can see what countries are being attacked. And on this map also says what industries. So what do you think, Catherine, are the top targeted industries for cyber attacked? What do you think is the top one?
Children.
Was education. You see, we thought government and healthcare, thought government or army would be the top, but the top targeted cyber attacks are on education.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We know from going through this the last few years, do you know what I mean? It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But it does tell you something, though, doesn't it? That something.
I was shocked. I didn't think education would be at the top. I thought it would be military or government.
I was totally stunned. I thought it would have been bankers. I thought it would have probably been like banks and financial.
I would have said that. I would have said, you can't, a few years ago, I would have said bankers. But now I know it's to do with the kids and the I know from things that are going on in the background how hard they really are fighting this, mind. The whole agenda in that, the lengths that they are going to in some cases is extreme just to get this taught. Do you know what I mean? It is massive. So that actually doesn't surprise me at all.
So the top targeted countries are interested. Interesting. Okay. So the highest rate of attacks per organization, per country, in the last America? Day, number one is Mongolia.
Right. Oh.
Number two is Nepal.
Right.
Three is Georgia. Four is Angola. And five is Macau. Now, I'm thinking, are servers, big servers, stored in those countries?
Oh, possibly, because
you don't know much, you know, you would think it would be America at number one and maybe Israel at number two. But it's not. It's Mongolia, Nepal, Georgia, Angola, and Myanmar. I can't pronounce that. Top target industries are education, then government, and then healthcare. And then
healthcare would probably be at the top as well. But yeah, that doesn't that just go to say how important this issue is?
It is. And then they show you what kind of attack is this. So you've got a malware, a phishing, and an exploit. And all I'm seeing on the map at this exact moment is the yellow, which is exploit. And it's shooting all the way around, coming out of the States into India and into Japan. And the UK, it looks like they're putting out the threats. It's an interesting map to have, especially if things start going down.
Yeah, and what's it called, Lou?
I'm going to send you this right now.
Yeah.
It's called Cyber Threat Map. And the it's called Threat map.checkpoint. I've just sent it to you in Messenger. So everyone, it is interesting, especially I was surprised to think education. I would have thought government up the top, to be perfectly fair, or military. Christine thought the money, but yeah, you've been regards to education, so you're ahead of the game.
Yeah,
I would have said the same as you said, look, definitely before now, but the last I've seen the map is like, no, it's just, it's insane to watch it happening. So, yeah, I would have said bankers, healthcare, the military or whatever before. And don't get me wrong, they're at the top. But it's to do with, it's far bigger than that. This agenda is massive, so massive, that really doesn't surprise me. But it does bloody scare me, though.
It scares me that's what they're more focused on. They're more focused on targeting the education system than the banking or the military or government.
If we look at it logically from their point of view, right, at the moment, I would say in those, I mean, there's not many of them, but at the moment, the people who are still in these positions are older people, but these new ones coming up, when they go into the positions in the military and when they go into the banking positions, look at how they're being taught, do you know what I mean? So it's more important for them to focus on the younger ones in, you know, not just with the sex ed, but, you know, sort of molding them to how they want them to be when they go out into that wide world. So I think that's probably a reason maybe that they've done it through the education system, because it's powerful, very powerful, as we're seeing with, you know, the RSE and everything else that's going on at the moment. It's important. I think that's why they brought education in, if we really want to, you know, split hairs about it. Always for education. Do you know what I mean? It was always the father who was always, you know, and the mother, obviously. They did separate skill set, you know, different skill sets and building and, you know, whatever. And they were taught these skills and traditions and whatever.
So first of all, you get the kids away.
Get them away from the parents.
The kids away. Whole family unit, then get them into school, then break the family unit.
Yeah, and steal the kids' minds.
So the mothers can't cope. The mothers then, you know, they, generally, let's say the mothers, I know there's loads of single dads, this is not, do you know what I mean? The single parents there at home, then maybe in some families where things are tough, the mum will, you know, the parent will go to the doctor a bit stressed out, they get written some antidepressants just for a short meeting, but the second that prescription's written, that's and on their medical records, they are classed as mental health. If social services want to go in to try and get these kids or what have you, the first thing they can get is those medical records where they've been prescribed that, even though if it was a very short term one, just to get through it, because they're single parents, they haven't got the adult male, let's say, there for the discipline,
the support,
for the support, and you know, blah blah. This has been such a long term.
This is what I don't think people quite understand, ladies. No. Right, it's that, you know, we're looking at it from now, this point in time, and maybe the last couple of years or whatever. But this goes way, 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 way back. They were very willing to play the long game. They knew exactly what was going to happen, and we're right at the pinnacle of it now. You know, we're right,
especially
in
that- and. It all starts with like during the 60s with like the feminist movement and all of this.
All it's doing
is they're just getting more money because it's more people to tax, and then they're bringing the mothers away from the family home.
Exactly. So the kid has to go into state school. Then if both parents have to go out and work, then they need the child to be in school. And it's brilliant from that point of view. They're claiming souls left, right and centre. However, though, on a positive note of that, and, you know, obviously, because I've home educated, Grace, I'm in no circles anyway. Even in our local area, I was speaking to my friend the other day when I had some food, and she's another home educator, and she kind of runs the groups and stuff around you, or she's, you know, highly involved in it. And she said, the amount of new people that are coming onto these groups is insane. And that's just in my little area, mind, and the surrounding areas. Do you know what I mean? So if you say, in other words, people are pulling their kids out of school pretty sharpish, like they kind of lose, I mean, they're not losing their grip as in most children are still in school, but it's increasing. The more that people home educate and the more that they're able to relay their experiences to other people who are scared to do it, the more they're getting confidence to pull their kids out of school. You know, it is working. And people are pulling their kids out of school, just as a positive note, because we know what they're doing to them in school is absolutely shocking. But they are kind of losing their grip a little bit on that, which is very interesting. I'll keep an eye on it. But I'm suggesting that that's probably the same in other areas, is what I mean. It's not just my area that's happened with, I'm sure. So I'd like to get some statistics actually on home ed stats.
You know
what I mean? For the last few years, to see how many have taken their children out and out. The issue with that is they're not clear statistics, because a lot of parents had never registered their children in school in the first place. So if they're not registered in the first instance, then they're not going to be on the deregister program, if you see what I mean. So those numbers that are going to come out are going to be significantly higher, where younger siblings and whatever weren't even put into the school system at all. So they're not even aware that they're there. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry to go off on a bit of a tangent there, but yeah, you know, it's an agenda, and I think the only safety net at the minute is to home educate. Even private education is a bit of a slippery slope. So
it really is. Kat, you've got a few stories.
I've got a few. So I'm going to do this one first before I come to Wales and what's going on in Wales. Which is shocking, by the way. I'm just going to read this one, right? So this was in South Africa. Before anyone says, oh, but it's in South, it really does my head in when people do this, but you know, they'll say, UK, right? But this education is global, so it is all over. Anyway, I'm just going to read the article and then I'll read the tweet. So, former Springbok questions gender swap school day. A former Springbok has hit out at a primary school after highlighting an apparent gender swap school day planned for this month. This is a primary school as well. On Monday, former Springbok Cobus Vice took to X, formerly known as Twitter, to post an apparent letter to parents highlighting a planned gender swap day at a South African primary school. The letter seems to state that it will be a normal school day, but that girls are to wear boys' clothes and boys are to wear girls' clothes. Vice commented on the letter with the letters WTF, what the beep, and subsequently retweeted a host of outraged reactions. Another former Springbok, Ryan Kankowski, also replied to his tweet to say, surely this is a joke. This is a developing story, and if you know more about the exact nature of this school letter and request, please let us know. But it is, the letter is here. So basically, it's got the, you know, the logo on the top. Dear Parents Guardian, this is the 1st of March regarding gender swap day. This letter serves to inform you that on the 8th of March 2024, the school will be celebrating gender swap. Girls are to wear boys' clothes and boys are to wear girls' clothes at the cost of 20, whatever it is, the currency. It will be a normal school day. Thank you in advance. And then there's the signature of the principal on there. So they're actually doing, like, so people think this is not happening. And it's, you know, because it hasn't specifically happened to their child at the minute, they're not seeming to be bothered. They'll be bothered after the time. Do you know what I mean? But they are actually doing this thing in schools, in primary school. Well, they shouldn't be doing it in any schools. But the point is, these are what, 7, 8, 9 year olds, 9, 10 year olds, and they're making them come in. And do you know, this is massively programming, brainwashing our children into dangerous ideologies all day long. Why is this even relevant for an education? What are they actually learning from this? Anything academic, anything useful for the world? Or are they just learning how that they can, if they want to choose different genders? And this is really going to have an effect, especially on autistic children and those on the spectrum. I'm telling you, because that's the case so far anyway. But now they're actively sending letters home and say, you know, saying we're going to be doing, so you've got to buy a dress for little Johnny. And do you know what I mean? This is crazy, guys. It is happening, is my point. It is happening.
It's demonic. It's evil.
What are they doing? It's not relevant to teaching. They're not learning anything.
I'll tell you what they're doing is they are literally bringing in the religion of Baal and Moloch. Right?
Yes, so I agree.
That's what it is. They're bringing
it is, and they start fighting them young.
To your school, Satanism. That's what they're bringing in.
Yeah, this is why they allowed. So in Wales, where we've obviously got the mandatory subjects are now including RSE, but including religion, values and ethics. And that was only because they only brought that in so they could bring in Satanism into the classroom. Do you know what I mean? Oh, look, right. We have to look at all these religions. They probably won't focus much on Christianity or whatever anyway, because that's been taken out of school. But so they can bring in this stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's honestly, I would put it up there, and you know, some people might be shocked with my opinion on this, but the most dangerous place for a child at the moment is school.
That's true. And I did
hospital, you know, the other thing is obviously depending on what's going on, but within the healthcare system, but it's a real dangerous place for children right now at school. Well, it is unbelievable. Not only are they not learning anything, but they're learning really dangerous ideologies, which with some of them, not all of them, but with some of them, will be massively affect them, and they will go down this process of transitioning. They will. And if you don't agree to it and you don't affirm your child's gender dysphoria, then expect a knock on the door from social services. That's how bad it's getting here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I did see where 67% of homeschool children graduate versus 57.5% public school. And that's here in the U.S. So I thought that was interesting because you said.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because people are, you know, they don't realize how home education works. And And the thing is, that was done on purpose as well. We weren't supposed to know that you were able to home educate, number one, and number two, that it's actually really, really beneficial. None of this was told. I grew up knowing nobody who was home educated, and I actually thought home education was for rich kids, and they would send in like a tutor for 6 hours a day into the home and just do
yes,
it
that's
in the,
what that's I thought. It,
yeah,
that's what I thought as well. The rich would have their own tutors come in.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Still do it. That's exactly what. So I think some people. Honestly, I didn't know when I took breaks out of school. You know, out of nursery, I had no idea what I was doing. It is completely different to school, unless you want to do it that way. Some home educators do it that way, but most of them don't because they know it's a, you know, it's actually more beneficial not to follow the curriculum, especially now. You know, and while they're teaching them now, definitely not.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And the other story I got as well, just as do you know this? I don't, you know, I'm not into fashion and whatever, but yeah, I know that I have seen it about the North Face. It's like,
yeah. Jack's got some, and I've actually got I've got a North Face jacket. They're very good, actually. They're very warm.
Oh, have you? They've gone woke, they have, right? So listen to this. The North Face offers huge discount only if customers complete woke course. After the retailer launched the controversial online program last month, social media users threatened to boycott the brand in protest. An American clothing company popular in the UK has been criticized for making customers take a woke course to receive a 20% discount. The North Face, which has several shops located across the UK, launched an online racial inclusion program last month. The outdoor goods retailer is asking customers to complete a multiple choice quiz at the end of all four modules to receive a 20% discount. Subjects covered during the course include white privilege, so you can see where this is going. But Free Speech Union founder Toby Young criticized the program and said the irony is that the North Face is implicitly acknowledging here that all its customers are white. After all, why would black customers need to take a course about white privilege to get a 20% discount? But if all customers are white, shouldn't it be examining the beam in its own eye? The program, named the Allyship in the Outdoors, claims to help customers build awareness and knowledge of people in of colour in the outdoors and understand the barriers and challenges by listening to lived experiences, The Sun reported. For those looking to take the course, it takes up a whole hour. One segment of the course asks, how many people of colour do you see on the slopes, on the hills, or on the trails? It also references the 2020 killing of George Floyd, obviously.
Oh, my saying God.
Saying it fostered a new awakening in the outdoors that racial inclusion and representation matters. Another segment claims white privilege gives you access to the outdoors when others can be excluded because of historic, enduring racism and biases. Another segment of the programme encourages its customers to raise complaints with their managers or colleagues if they are called woke. Honestly, the North Face contacted the comments. So basically,
I don't understand why they're still going on about George Floyd, because he was off his head on drugs. All the riots went off about it, and you still see just oh my gosh. What colour they're born into. It's no one's fault. You can't apologise for being born. It's freaking...
Or even apologise for stuff that our ancestors may or may not...
Exactly, do. It's over. It's over. We don't...
Little kids feel guilty for being white, though. They are. This is what... You know, this is... It's really bad.
I had it with my daughter. She's like, oh, well, the whites haven't been suppressed like the blacks and all, but you know, she's at the university. But then you go, what's the best is going to Wikipedia and looking up black pride, gay pride, Asian pride, and then you look at white pride. White supremacists, far right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really, really is crazy. But this is exactly what's going on in the schools. And to top that off then, with my last story, and Lou, you found, because I saw a TikTok video, and it was actually a video of this advert that is here in Wales for refugees and asylum seekers, and they used 13-year-old schoolgirls to do this advert about, you know, in welcoming refugees and over in Wales. It was quite, you know, why they would use 13-year-old girls in uniform is really creepy. But then Lou found this, which is actually on the Welsh government's website. So I'm just going to read this. And this was published in January 2019. Now, this is quite now in, you know, now we know what's going on because we can see it everywhere at the moment.
Very telling, isn't it? It's very, very telling.
Very telling when we think this was published, well, 5 years ago, right? So this was it. This was published under the 2016 to 2021 administration of the Welsh government. So it's a Welsh government document, right? Now, listen to this, guys. This is really, and it is happening over here. They're building in Cardiff. They're actually building, like, they've built loads and loads of like apartments for refugees, and I mean loads of them, right? So the Nation of Sanctuary, Refugee and Asylum Seeker Plan is the latest step towards the government's ambition of making Wales a nation of sanctuary for all who choose to make it their home. It renews the Welsh government's commitment of working with the UK government, local authorities, the Welsh Refugee Coalition and people seeking sanctuary themselves to achieve equality of opportunities, including access to resources and mainstream services. It also recognises the valuable skills and experiences which refugees and asylum seekers can bring with them to enhance Welsh communities. Welsh communities have already welcomed close to 1,000 Syrian refugees as part of the UK government's Syrian Vulnerable Persons Resettlement Scheme and the Community Support Scheme, along with many more asylum seekers from across the world. The plan highlights a range of targeted and culturally appropriate support, recognizing the importance of designing and delivering services tailored for often unique needs. These include mental health services, which address the difficult past experience of those seeking sanctuary, interventions to mitigate the risk of refugees and asylum seekers becoming destitute, actions to prevent vulnerable individuals from being exploited, safeguarding, particularly for unaccompanied asylum seeking children. One key program is the Restart Refugee Integration Project, which aims to improve access to language tuition, employability support and local cultural knowledge to aid integration. Over 500 refugees will have their needs assessed and given targeted support to help them integrate into society. A website will be launched to provide accessible, relevant information for refugees and asylum seekers. It will ensure those seeking sanctuary can develop their own knowledge of life in Wales and find advice around health, education and employment, as well as language and general information on the culture and history of Wales. The Deputy Minister and Chief Whip, Jane Hutt, launched the plan today in the Senedd. She said, quote, "Refugees and asylum seekers often arrive in Wales following traumatic experiences in their home countries and on their journeys to the UK. Wales has a long, proud history of welcoming refugees, and this Nation of Sanctuary plan will ensure this happens. We want to support refugees and asylum seekers to rebuild their lives and make a full contribution to Welsh society to support the taking up of opportunities and adding to the diversity of our communities. Over the next few years, we intend to build upon this plan to ensure Wales is truly a nation of sanctuary for refugees and asylum seekers for the improvement of everybody in society. We want to move beyond just welcoming them. We want to harness their skills and enrich our country by doing so. The plan has been endorsed by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the UN's refugee agency dedicated to protecting the rights of people seeking sanctuary." Can you believe it? Can you believe that?
When right. We see you know, they mentioned... When they mentioned...
It to be London. They want the whole place to be London.
But listen to this. So, you know, they mentioned that they're going to set up a website for refugees.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this right now. Oh my God. It's called WRC Wales. Okay. And it's the Welsh Refugee Council. And yeah. I tell you, we should look into who these people are. They've got, they're apparently now the Welsh Charity of the Year.
My.
And their mission is to empower asylum seekers and refugees to build their new lives in Wales.
See, look, Wales is the testing ground for everything. I've said it before.
It really is.
And I'll say it again. This is so dangerous. And then they've got those 13-year-old girls who these, you know, we've all seen the asylum seekers coming over. They're all men. They're all aged between 18 and 40. Or 30. Do you know what I mean? There's no kids. What on earth is going
and
on?
They're all looking
we haven't
for
got,
murders,
you know,
we've right?
got vets on our street here, right, that haven't got... They haven't got any money. They haven't got homes. They haven't got anything. And yet we are giving all this money to people who we don't know who they are, who have committed crimes when they, you know, they've come over here. This is insane. And I really don't
hang on, is there the Welsh Charity of the Year? So who's actually donating all this money to them? Because I can't see
exactly
the majority of the Welsh. So I would like to know.
It's not the Welsh people. It's not. Exactly. That's a very good question. We'll follow the money.
And we've got a guy called Salah Rasool, who's head of the Sanctuary and Refugee Services. You've got an Andrea Cleaver,
who's chief executive. Do you know where it is based?
Yeah. No. The charity, the website, the charity, about asking. Oh,
Andrea Cleaver is the CEO. Sala Rasool is the head of Sanctuary and Refugee Services. Marco Giglio is the executive director of resources. Natasha.
I strong when Welsh names there. Sorry.
Right. Natasha Gauthier is the head of communications and engagement. Beth Kidd, WSS and Partnership Manager. Martin Smidman, Volunteer and Partnership Manager. Nicholas, I can't even say that last name. He's the Ukraine Manager. His last name is Wysoczanskyj.
Yeah, that's not a Welsh name.
None of them.
Right.
Athena, no, we've got off. Go on,
Athena Summerbell is the Business Development Manager. Esther Gomez is the Move On Manager. Their trustees, and here's the trustee board. Okay, you've got Harry Isles. Doctor.
Any MPs or lords, really? Just somebody we might recognize.
Dr. Hawar Amin. These are Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
Navita Morgan.
Morgan is a Welsh name.
Let's see. You've got Hoyam Osman. Jennifer Morgan.
Morgan is a Welsh Burgess, name.
Sean Barra. Mike Chick. Buhir Rafiq. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Any of them. We'd have to look into them, wouldn't we?
We've got four offices. There's four offices in Wales.
Yeah.
Interesting, their opening times between 10 and 3 every day, but they close between 1 and 2, so volunteers and staff can take a break. They're only doing 1 till 3.
Wow.
Anyway.
So where are they?
They're being paid by the charity. So the offices. So there's one in Cardiff, in 120 to 122 Broadway.
Right.
Then they've got one in Newport at Lower Dock Street. They've got one in Swansea.
Yeah.
At the Kingsway. It's actually at the Swansea YMCA. And then they've got one in Wrexham. Borso, which is Grosvenor Road. So there's four offices. They all, as I say, they take their lunch breaks an hour before they're due to finish.
Yeah, that's just weird. Well, anyway,
so hard. For...
Yeah,
so,
I mean, what's that? No, the Welsh people wouldn't have been given to that charity, nor enough for them to do all that. I guarantee you. You might have the odd couple of quid from some wokey.
And do the Welsh people know that they are the number one charity in Wales? Do the Welsh people actually?
No, I didn't know. I've never even heard of them until you just said. But, so they don't know.
They've got all of these people who support them, like the people who sponsor, who sponsor them, and that's quite interesting. I'm just getting that back up.
The majority of them are Middle Eastern people. So this is not a grassroots operation from the Welsh people by any
way.
You know that.
So we've got the fundraising regular. There's the trusted charity, investing in volunteers, disability confidence, the living wage. And I will just tell you who works with them. Just you carry on and give your thoughts, guys.
Yeah. Well, I've never even heard of that. I've never even heard of this charity, you know, which is really strange.
Tell you who's funding them. You've got Admiral, I think there's car insurance, BBC Children in Need,
Wow.
Cardiff City, I presume. Community Foundation Wales, IKEA, Comic Relief.
Wow.
The Good Thing Foundation, Garfield Western Foundation, I don't know who they are, and then Migrant Help. So these are all the people who are funding this organisation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave a link to the to this amazing charity that was mentioned, that how they were going to set up a website in those government documents that were between 2016 and 2019 that Catherine just read out. So I know we've got loads of Welsh followers. So guys, go and take a day, deep dive into this. And I know how great you all are. I've seen what you guys have done in Wales over the schools, and I know you'll be able to find loads out about this. So that is in the show notes with all of the stories we're talking about tonight. So where are we going next? Is it me?
I think it's you.
One of you ladies. I'm done with my story.
Okay. So I need to say a big thank you to Vicky, my friend Vicky. We work together, and she's really helped me today. She went and found a load of stories, but this is really, really interesting. Apparently a restaurant in Kent. So when we were up in London for the talk with Clive and Matt Letizia and Richard Vobes, a friend turned up, and she only carries cash with her, and they wouldn't let her in because she was everywhere's gone cashless in central London. So a pub or like a bar in Ashford in Kent said they were kind of being pushed into going cashless, and people of Kent ain't having it. They're losing business left, right and centre because of it. And they can't. There's been so much backlash over it. This isn't what people want. We're led to believe what this is what people want, but people don't want it. People are waking up and seeing what's going on.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
People you're hearing, you know, you stand at a bar. Where was I the other day? I went up and do you take cash? I can't even remember where I was now. Somewhere, maybe coming home from the station. That was it. I was just went to get a bottle of water. And whereas the train, you can't get a drink on the train if you haven't got a card. Because in those situations, you're doomed. There's nowhere else to go. But in places like pubs and anything, people are waking up and they will go to the pubs that are accepting cash. So, and more people are seeing it. So well done, Kent.
Because this pub. I did see something the other day that 2023 was the, like there was a lot more people using cash last year. Like it gone up. So that's a good thing. You are right. If people are realizing they're drawing money out using cash, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly. Good. Now I've got just one little, well, I've got two more stories. I've got a rundown of the budget. Well, Vicky sent me the rundown of the budget today. So we'll just have to do the point in a moment. But this is coming out of Natural News. British Armed Forces are directly involved in the fighting in Ukraine. Apparently this was a story that came out of the Times, and it claimed that Admiral Sir Tony Rankin, the senior Royal Navy officer and current head of British Armed Forces, played a role in devising battle plans for Kiev. The report indicates that Admiral head of the UK forces, played the role, devising the role of battle plans for Ukraine. A Kremlin press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, stated that the British support for Ukraine, including the provision of intelligence and the deployment of British personnel on the ground, has been known for some time, but has now openly been confirmed. The Times revealed that Sir Redeking, assisted Ukraine in formulating strategies to counter Russian ships and to secure the Black Sea. He also proved invaluable in securing and coordinating support for Ukraine from other senior military chiefs in the North Atlantic Treaty. The Russian Peskov noted that the Kremlin lacks more information regarding the activities of this major activities in Ukraine, but he did suggest in a press conference that the Russian armed forces may have more classified information regarding the admiral's role in the conflict. I tell you what, Russia are pissed. You had Boris Johnson, where they had it all on the table. If anyone watched, you need to go and watch this interview with Tucker and Putin. There was a plan on the table between Zelensky and Putin. It was about to be signed until Johnson called Zelensky and told him not to sign it. I'm not sure exactly what reasons, but it's more than likely promises of getting him into NATO.
Yeah, Boris Johnson, he's unreal, isn't he? Absolutely unreal. Got blood on his hands.
Hancock and all the other, Boris. He started the COVID, he started Ukraine, and now the head of his military is down to Johnson. He should be on every front page. He should be the, you know, obviously as well as the children. But this is big. Why is he being shielded? Is it because the new missus, his bloody honey trap, who's linked to Lord Mallet Brown, who's linked to the Open Society, who was linked to Ghislaine Maxwell, that she was linked to Lord Mallet Brown? I don't know. This is dirty. Boris Johnson still walking. And what I'm saying that, Tony Blair's still walking around.
He was probably blackmailed. He was probably blackmailed. There'll be stuff on him. So he done what he was told.
I do still think we need to do a poll for every person in the UK just to see, do you like Tony Blair?
Do you know what?
He's still relevant.
Yeah, even people who don't, you know, who are not even conspiratorial like us. Online, hate Tony Blair.
I don't know one person who said, Tony Blair, he's a good bloke. Oh, yeah, he's great. I don't know one single person who mentioned the name Tony Blair who doesn't have a look of detest and hatred come over them.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of the female Tony Blair, sorry.
Hey?
Nikki Haley got trumped last night.
Oh, she did. Yeah, let's talk about a little bit. Super Tuesday it was.
Oh my gosh.
Let's have a quick mention of that.
Listen, and I don't want to, you may not be done with yours. I just think that's funny. You say Tony Blair, I think Nikki Haley, same.
No, so, I've got another. I'm going to go over the budget. So just give us a quick roundup of what happened last night with the...
Trump just literally trounced him. He killed it. Trump won every state except D.C., which I think is no shock there. So Nikki won Washington, D.C. Well, honey, she can have it. So that's great.
He won New York and California.
Yeah, he won everything. Everything but D.C. So he won even Virginia, where they let the Democrats vote in the Republican thing. They're so backwards. Yeah, he even won that. So he's, and then of course his speech last night. And I know you stayed up and watched that. Bless your heart. It was so late, but
he seemed subdued to me.
He was very subdued, and you and I talked about that a little bit. I think that while it was a victory speech and it's a great thing, I think he understands some of the weight of what we've all talked about today and some of the things that are happening behind the scenes that most people are just not aware of. He is aware. Worldwide, he's aware. And he feels, I'm sure, more weight on his shoulders than probably any world leader in history has ever felt. Because this is bigger than the U.S. This is much bigger than the U.S. Trump is not just here to save the United States. Trump is here to save the world through, and it's not Trump saving the world. Okay, so when I say that, Don't take that and run like we're worshiping Trump. We're not. But he is anointed for such a time as this. And he is being used by God to bring unity and peace to the world. But in the process of that, everything must fall. Every old system, every bank, every single mountain of society that that these people have risen to and rule and reign over us from, it has to be taken down. And it's all we know. We were born into this system. So I hope people understand that it is about to change in a very big way. Drastic change is coming. But it may not all look good. It will be for our good, but I think you're going to see a lot of chaos, and I think you're going to see a lot of backlash. And like I said, the enemy was destroyed last night, and they know it. The global agenda is done. They have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to run, and they have nowhere to hide. And we all see them. And that was not their plan. Their plan was for us to stay blind, deaf, and dumb slaves to their agenda. They controlled everything we did, and they ruled the world. And now that that's been trumped, literally, you know, they're having to really reevaluate how many of them there are versus how many of us there are. And there's no way they can win. There's no way that they win.
But they're going to do all sorts. When they're in a panic like this, when they're cornered,
that's it.
They're going to make stupid decisions and the deep state is on like the decline. They're going to be pushing everything at it because there's nothing to lose now. It's fight for their survival, isn't it? So they're going to ramp absolutely everything up.
Mm-hmm. They're going to throw everything they have left at us with force, and have to expedite it, right?
And it seems that they're throwing it all at the children, especially if we look at the global cyber threat and everything that's going on. The kids are going to be number one. Now listen to this. So Vicky's, I didn't even realize there was a budget, but Vicky sent me just, it's quite funny actually, budget roundup, which just got tax rises. Tax perks for holiday let scrapped. Extra tax relief for costs incurred in furnishing holiday lets and multiple dwellings removed. What else? Stamp duty raid on multiple purchases, relief from stamp duty land tax for multiple dwellings. So second homers, by the looks of it, the rich and wealthy are getting nice lots of tax breaks there.
Well, that's surprising.
Non-domestic tax rules allowing some wealthy people to avoid tax on foreign earnings if they've lived in the UK for less than 14 years are to be scrapped. But a new regime will apply from April 2025, in which new arrivals to the UK will not pay tax on foreign income and gains for the first 5 years of UK residency. Vapes are now to be taxed, and tobacco duty to rise again. Business class airfares to pay a higher duty. Oil and gas windfall tax extended, because the increase in energy caused by Ukraine war is expected to last longer. Oh, what a surprise. Okay. And really, there you go. They are robbing the poor.
Yeah, still robbing the poor.
A whole lot has got to go, and there is no option. People, just get on the phone, just write an email. It'll take you 30 seconds. Do you know what? I'm even going to write a template email, which is going to consist of no more than 10 words. So if you can't be bothered to type the email, you can just copy it. And all it's going to be is, I'm a local resident. You put your postcode in. Please, can you tell me your thoughts on RSE education? That's the only thing you need to write. And whatever response is, that response, if they agree with this education, you know that really every single subject that we're being attacked by, that MP who's standing and representing you is for your destruction and your children. That the RSE can sum up everything, because that'll give you the type of, that just tells you, if they support it, you know what type of person they are. And they won't think twice about, like, they'll bury you in a second if it doesn't go with their agenda. So come on, guys, let us know. write to your MP, simple statement, your thoughts on RSE. Let us know. We'll put it all on a map. So when the elections come, people in that area will know that there's that what their MP is for. Simples.
That is so helpful. And that's a great thing. That's a great idea, Lou.
Yeah, but we've been saying this for months, and I think I've had about only four people come back to me. And I know we've got more listeners than four. So just let us know.
All six please. Of you, get that done. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So I think we've had a good news show that was jam-packed. We're going to bring you Diddy news when major significant things happen. It's just too much. I can't deal with much more of this celebrity nonsense. My whole, every feed is now just nothing but Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, his naked wife, Diddy, the royal family, and that's all I'm bloody seeing everywhere. So it's getting too much. Christine, is there anything you would like to add, my love?
I really just hope everybody has a beautiful week. Some good changes coming this way. We are going to promise our listeners we're about to step up to a new level. And we want you guys to share this information. Help us get it out there. It's very important what we're researching and what we're sharing. And we really, you would help us so much by just sharing this information with your friends and family on your social media. Share it far and wide. And we are going to work on getting a producer and getting our stories and things a little more organized and timed out so that we can do a little deeper dives. Some of these stories we hit and we really want to go deeper, but it's hard because the news comes at you so fast right now. So just hang with us and just know
there's only so many hours in the day, isn't there? There is only so many hours in the day. Kat's out there doing her research and she's doing stuff behind the scenes that I don't know how she's doing it. And I'm not going to go into it, but she is working so hard with different cases. Yourself, you're there, you're doing what you're doing. I've got my full-time job. Then I'm trying to produce it. Christine is coming in and going to help me produce. It would be nice if we could have maybe other people just in case things don't go wrong. But Christine's absolutely right, especially as we want to do a lot more digging on certain cases and we want more interviews coming in. So I still haven't got Christina England's interview out. And we did a fantastic interview yesterday as well.
Belfast.
Yeah. So we're getting there. Bear with us. We're also going to try and get to more platforms. Obviously, we've been cut off of YouTube. But saying that, Christine, we could try up. I don't want to jeopardize your channel saying that. I was going to say we could try uploading the videos to the QT Mawson, if they stayed, but it might jeopardize your channel. And I don't, you know, it's amazing that you've still got it. So, but well, there are other people. We're closing the show. We will be back tomorrow. We are going to have Jason Nota gracing us with his presence. He's going to be on every Tuesday and Thursday. And us three will be here every day of the week, unless major issues or big cases turn up or there's family drama. And there's more interviews coming, I promise. There'll be a big upload day on Saturday, basically. They'll all be out by then. Final words, Catherine.
Guys, if you can just have a look, you know, this thing that's come up now with Wales and what's going on with the refugees, like Lou said earlier, there's some amazing people who listen to this show and I know that they would be superb in that, you know, if I had the time to do it, I'd do a deep dive myself, but I have got things on. However, it is vital that, you know, the Welsh people know what's going on. Do you know what I mean? So if you can take a deep dive in that, the link will be in there for the government website where I read out earlier. And just keep it real, guys, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Christine, over to you, final words.
Just keep us in your prayers. Pray for your nations. Pray for your world leaders. Pray for wisdom. There's a lot going on right now. And we're praying for you guys every day.
Thank you. So all the show notes are on libertytactics.co.uk. They're all linked down. We always come back with where we get our sources from. We'll always show you the receipts. And as Catherine said, there's also the link to the charity as well as the Welsh Government document. There's also a link there to the charity. So go and have a look and see, maybe dive into the people who are behind it, because this is the way you go. You make things personal. You show the people who are pushing this. Like I showed that dame the other day who's pushing for 40-week abortions in this country. So let's make it personal. Let's get the people who are pushing this. Let's get their faces out there. You don't have to become violent with them, but you just need them to know that you know what they're up to. They think they can hide behind corporations. You know, that's what it's all about. They can hide. No one's ever going to get prostituted because it's the corporation. No. Anyway, that's it. LibertyTactics.co.uk. Catherine, did you want to say anything?
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry. I just saw you come off mute.
I know. Sorry, Lev. I was just going to
say. LibertyTactics.co.uk, exposingthelie.info. There's Q Team Awesome on YouTube, Christine Miner on Facebook. Awesome, I think yours is set.
Yeah, I think Awesome on Rumble, yeah. And then Christine Miner on Facebook and at QTeam Awesome on Truth.
And I think though your profile's set to friends only on Facebook, so just keep an eye out for Christine maybe on Truth Social.
Yeah,
lovely. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
God bless. Good night, ladies.